Well, tonight's homily will come from this gospel reading that we just looked at, so you may want to keep your Bibles open to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. And a major theme that we see in the Gospel of Matthew is this theme of the kingdom of heaven. And as Jeremiah mentioned last week, this section that we're looking at here on the Sermon on the Mount, this is really a description of what this kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus presents this description by way of a contrast. He's contrasting the kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of this world. And this contrast really highlights this difference between these two kingdoms, the radical nature of the kingdom of heaven, really the utter bizarreness that we have of the kingdom of heaven. I mean, just take the Beatitudes, for example. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This really makes no sense to us. Kingdoms do not go to the poor. Kingdoms rather go to the rich. Kingdoms go to the powerful. Or how about this one? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek? The meek are despised in this world. It's the strong that we value. The strong are the ones, and they don't inherit the earth. The strong conquer. They take the earth. Or how about Jesus equating being angry with murder? Or looking at a woman with lustful intent with adultery? I mean, this is radical. And it was radical when Jesus said these words, and it's just as radical for us today when we're looking at them. Or last week when Jeremiah was looking at how you practice your righteousness. Do we do it in secret? Or do we do it externally so it can be seen by men? See, it makes no sense to the world to do it by secret. You can't get any benefit from that. You want people to think you're generous. You want your generosity to bring you some reward. Doing it in secret makes no sense. And we'll continue to see this contrast set before us today. See, today's reading is about treasures. And treasures are not simply applied to money. Treasures can really be thought of as anything that we value, anything that we can invest, anything that, I mean, it includes our money, it includes our time, it includes our affections, our hopes, our efforts, our aspirations, our loves. And there are two realms in which we can invest these treasures, two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God, and there is the kingdom of man. We can lay up treasures here on earth, or we can lay up treasures in heaven. And even as Christians, even as citizens of this kingdom of heaven, there will be a temptation. There'll be a temptation for us to lay up treasures here on earth. A temptation for us to invest our money or our time or our talents or our hopes or our loves in the here and now. To invest it in things that we can see, that can be seen by others. And in this passage, Jesus is exhorting us. He's exhorting us to resist this temptation. He's exhorting us not to lay up treasures on earth, but rather to lay up these treasures in heaven. In other words, we are to invest our treasure, our time, our talent, etc., all these things, in the things of God. We are to invest these into the work of God. And in verses 19 and 20, he lists the reasons why laying up treasures on earth is a bad investment. And it's because this world, this kingdom, the kingdom of man, is temporary. And any treasures that we invest here will ultimately and finally be lost. Lost forever. But more than that, any hope that's found in this world, any meaning that we seek to find in the kingdom of man, will ultimately fail us. It will ultimately disappoint us. Look at verse 19. Jesus specifically shows us how this kingdom, how the kingdom of earth fails us. And he lists three dangers that we have here of laying up treasures on earth. Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So the three things that he's mentioning here are moth, rust, and thieves. And why does he mention these three? I mean, think about it. There are many, many ways we can lose our treasures. Why these three? Well, these three are representative. They're representative of the areas that we will be tempted to place our trust. Areas that will draw us in, that will deceive us into trusting into this world. Let's look at moth. Moth is an insect. It's an animal. It's part of the natural realm. It's part of nature. And one of the temptations, one of the deceptions for us is to trust in nature. I mean, all of us, we love being outside. It was a beautiful day today. The sun was shining. There's a beauty. There's a majesty of nature. We love being in the woods. We love being in the mountains. We love being at the ocean. And as a Christian, we know that this majesty simply points to it. It's a reflection of the majesty of God. But for many, there's a temptation to idolize nature, to invest our treasures in nature, to see nature as perfect, to see nature as the solution of our problems. Right? You know, we know people who say that the problem with the world is civilization. The problem is urbanization. You know, if we all lived in a simpler way, if we just got back to nature, if we got green, right? If we lived off the land, if we ate organic foods, everything would be okay. Right? And this is what I would call the granola eating, sandal wearing crowd who worships nature. And I say that I eat granola, I wear sandals. But there are people who, I mean, you can just look at them and you can see they worship nature. And the problem is when you worship nature, is nature is not perfect. Nature is fallen, right? There are storms. We know that very well here in Albany. There are storms. There are floods. There are droughts. There are earthquakes. And more than that, there are predators. There are diseases. Nature is harsh. Are you ever watching any of those nature shows and you see how the predator comes and, you know, the lion will tear up the gazelle? This is harsh. This is not perfect. This is not tranquil. And if we place our hopes in nature, it will fail us. Our treasures, if we place our treasures in nature, our treasures will be destroyed. What about rust? The next one here talks about rust. Rust is a natural process, oxidation. Remember, Lynn and I had a Toyota Camry. And this car was 20 years old. It ran great. Problem was the body was falling apart. It was the rust. It was 20 years of driving on northern roads and the snow and the salt and not keeping it in a garage. And the car was just disintegrating. That's what rust is. Oxidation. It's a chemical reaction. It's science. And just as there are those who place their trust in nature, there are those who will place their trust in science. Right? Science will solve all our problems. It'll figure out all the problems. Science, they'll discover ultimate meaning. Science is where we place our hope. But just as nature is fallen, so is science. Or more accurate, so are the scientific principles and laws that govern this natural law. These principles that science discovers. They, too, are corrupted by the fall. See, when you get down to it, all of our scientific laws, all the technology that we have that are derived from these laws, simply what it is the way that matter and energy interact with one another. And how we can use those interactions, how we can manipulate them really for our good. That's what technology is. But in every single chemical reaction or physical reaction or molecular or nuclear interaction, there is a net decrease in energy. Every single reaction, just in our metabolism, just as I speak here, there's a net decrease in energy in the universe. And what does this mean? This means that ultimately this energy will run out. Ultimately, the universe will run out of energy and experience what's called heat death. And again, there is no ultimate hope. There is no ultimate permanence found in science or technology. The last area that Jesus addresses here are thieves. Thieves break in and steal. Now, it should be obvious, thieves here are people. And here is the last area where we'll be tempted to place our trust in this fallen world. We will be tempted to trust in people. And we've heard it. People are naturally good, right? Have you heard people say, hey, people are really just naturally good. The problem is poverty. If we could just end poverty, then we'd have no problem. Oh, the problem is education. If we could just give people education, then we'd have no problem. Well, the problem is discrimination. People are down. There's prejudice, natural prejudices built against people. That's why there's a problem. But the people say seem to miss the point that there are many wealthy, educated, privileged people who are thieves just as much as people who are the opposite. And it's really a naive view of human nature, thinking that people are naturally good. And this naive view of human nature is behind all these utopian dreams of many of the secularists we have. Right? If we could only eliminate that backward thinking of fundamentalists, and if we could only end the discrimination that we see, discrimination based on whatever criteria you select, then we will experience the perfect society. And we see economic systems that are based on this so-called equality, based on this utopian thinking. These are things like socialism and communism. They thrive under this view. You know, man is naturally good. Each person will take according to his need and will give according to his ability. Doesn't that sound so noble? Right? And right now we're seeing such an infatuation with socialism, thinking that this will solve all our problems. And many of our politicians are saying this. The problem is that these philosophies, socialism, communism, they can work in small groups, like families. You could have it. Or the early church had something similar to this. But you got to remember, there was already strong bonds of love in these groups. See, the natural man wants the opposite of this. The natural man wants to take as much as possible and give as little as possible, not the other way around. See, we are not concerned with the common good. We are concerned with our good. See, that's why capitalism, which is seems like the most broken system you can have, where everyone's greed will kind of work together for a common good. Because a system like capitalism recognizes that we are fallen. Democracy and checks and balances recognizes that we are fallen. But the problem is we are not good. People are not naturally good. People are naturally fallen. And the truth is that people will always disappoint us. And if we invest our treasures in people, they will ultimately fail us. And just as verse 19 tells us the bad investment, verse 20 tells us the solid investment. See, investing in the earth is bound to fail. You're bound to lose everything if you invest in the earth. But investing in heaven, you cannot lose. That is the sure thing investment. It is the exact opposite. And Jesus exhorts us to lay up our treasures in heaven, where there's no moth, where there is no rust, where there are no thieves. And why? Because heaven is not fallen. The earth is fallen. Heaven is not. In the kingdom of heaven, in the new kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth, nature will be redeemed. Nature will be perfect. The physical laws of the universe will be restored. The universe will not run out of energy. It will go on for all eternity in this new kingdom, this new heaven and earth. And more importantly, in the kingdom of heaven, we will be redeemed. We will be perfected. We will no longer be sinners. We will no longer sin. Now today, if you are in Christ, the penalty for your sins has been removed. It has been removed for us, and we sing praises to God for this. It has been paid for by Christ on the cross. Today, if we are a Christian, the power of sin has actually been conquered by our union with Christ. We are no longer not able not to sin, meaning that all we could do is sin. Now we have been freedom. We actually have the power to obey God. Isn't that amazing? Now, often we fail. Many times we fail to obey God. And we will never until we are actually in glory, fully use this power. But we have it. We have a little spark of that power. We can obey God. But on that day when we are in glory, when we are either in heaven or in the new heavens and new earth, on that day of the kingdom of heaven, we will finally and forever be free from the presence of sin. We will be sinless. We will be glorified. And not only is laying up treasures on earth a bad investment, not only is it a foolish waste of our treasures on something that will not last, it's also harmful right now, in the here and now. It's not like when the end times come and we no longer have, the earth is burned up. No, right now it can hurt us. And how? Look at verse 21. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, laying up treasures on earth as opposed to heaven, it will affect our heart. It will affect our love. It will affect our desires. See, we will love where we place our treasures. We will love the here and now. We will love the things that can be seen. We will love the things of this fallen world over the things of God. And we see it's a constant temptation. There are so many things competing for our love. We just turn on the TV. Look at sports. Look at football. Look at, I mean, we was at a dog show yesterday, and I could see so many people, that's their God, the dog show, or any hobby. Our jobs, these are so many things that are competing for us to have our love in the here and now and not in the worship. And we see this. I mean, just a few people coming here and worshiping this evening. There are so many other competing things. And I guarantee the people, wherever they are, they're not worshiping now. They're usually indulging their hearts in these other things, these things of the world. And do you see how a love for the things of the world will reinforce where we lay up our treasures? We're going to lay our treasure up where we love. Our treasures simply reveal our heart. Our treasures, where we put our treasures, reveal where our heart is. And our heart drives where we lay up those treasures. So both reinforce each other. So the more we store up on earth, the more our heart is on earth. The more we store up treasures in heaven, the more our heart is in heaven. The more we love heaven. Now, some people may say that I'm creating a false dichotomy. You know, why can't I love both? Why can't I love both this world and love God? Why can't my heart be in both? Both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. Right? A lot of people say, John, you're creating a false dichotomy here. Well, Jesus answers it in verse 24. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See, we can't have both. Each of us must make a choice. We must choose whom we will serve. We must select where we will lay up our treasures. Will we lay up our treasures on earth or lay up our treasures in heaven? In each of these two realms, earth and heaven, they have a master, a different master. See, we cannot serve both. We will either hate one or love the other, or we'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And the master of heaven is God, the triune God. And the master of earth is money. The master of this earth is our money. And if we live in such a way as try to maximize our money, to maximize our comfort in this world, maximize our reputation among others, if we live only with an eye on the here and now, only with an eye on the things that can be seen, the things that we can touch, that can be tasted, if we do this, that's what it means by laying up treasures on earth. But if our main motivation is the things of God, if our main motivation is knowing God, making Him known, if we see all the resources that we have, if we see our time, if we see our money, if we see our talent and our knowledge, if we see these things all as gifts from Him, gifts not to be used on ourselves, but gifts that are from Him and to be used for Him, for His glory. If our hopes, if our aspiration, if our affections are found in Him, in His Word, then and only then we are laying up our treasures in heaven. Only then are we serving our true one Master. We're serving the Lord. So how do we do this? Right? How do we keep from being deceived? How do we keep from laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal? Well, I think the answer can be found in verses 22 and 23. Take a look at those verses. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, our eyes. Our eyes let in light. Our eyes illuminate our souls. If our eye is healthy, that means if our eye works, our physical eye works, we will have an accurate picture of the physical world. See, our minds will be enlightened, and they will have an accurate understanding of the world around us. But if our eyes are bad, if our physical eyes are broken, if we have a visual impairment, say if we're colorblind, or if we have cataracts, then our vision will be distorted. See, our minds will not have an accurate view, an accurate understanding of reality. See, as I mentioned, many of you know I'm colorblind. So I don't have an accurate, when I look at colors, I don't see them accurately. I don't see them the same way as people who do not have the color blindness do. So I have a distortion of the physical world. And again, if it's that big, in a sense, we'll be filled with darkness. Now, just as there is a physical reality, there is also a spiritual reality. Just as we have a physical eyes to perceive the physical reality, we also have spiritual eyes to even have an awareness that there is a spiritual realm. Why do so many people have no concern for the spiritual things? Lynn and I last night were watching the movie about Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. And we only got through about half of it, but the beginning of it, Lee Strobel's wife becomes a Christian. And he's angry with her. And he's saying, why do you believe in these fantasies? These are fantasy stories. All we can trust is what we can see. And that's for people who only have physical eyes. They cannot see the things of heaven. They cannot see spiritual reality. And this is what verse 22 is talking about. See, a healthy eye can see spiritual reality. A healthy eye can see the things of God. But the bad eye is blind to the things of God. See, the person with the bad eye can only lay up treasures on earth because he is blind to the kingdom of heaven. But if we have a healthy eye, if we have a healthy eye, our whole body is full of light. Our whole body and our soul will be filled with the light of God. It will affect our minds. It will affect our thoughts. It will affect our hearts. It will affect our affections. And it will affect our will. And it will affect our actions. So lastly, how do we get this? How do we get this healthy eye? Well, if you're a Christian, if you have been born again, the good news is you already have it. See, Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3:3, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. But if we are born again, then we have spiritual eyes. Then we have been given the eyes of faith. But we must strengthen these eyes, right? We must strengthen our faith. You know, just like any muscle, it will atrophy if we don't use it. And how do we strengthen our muscles? We strengthen by using it. Well, same thing. How do we strengthen our faith? We strengthen our faith by walking by faith, by stepping out when we're not really sure. We know God's word tells us to do something, but we're not sure. Everything around us says that it's wrong, or everything inside of us feels that it's wrong. But we only step out because God's word says, and we step out on faith. That's how we strengthen our faith. We strengthen our spiritual muscles. We strengthen our spiritual eyes, not by laying up our treasures on earth, but by laying up our treasures in heaven. We say, it makes so much sense to invest our time here where I can see a difference as opposed to in heaven, which is ambiguous. Do you see what there is that temptation for us? But when we do that, when we know what God's word says and we still trust him and we walk by faith, we are strengthening that faith. And by doing this, we not only strengthen our faith, but we also deepen our love for God. Because as his word said, where our treasures, our heart will be also. And this love for God, this will make it more easy for us to lay up our treasures in heaven. As we love him, as we have more faith, as we can see him, it'll be easier and more natural. And we see Christians all the time who, as they grow in grace, it makes it so easy for them. It's so easy for them to lay up their treasures in heaven and not on earth. And when we do that, we are then serving our true master. We are serving God. We're not serving money. Please pray with me. Father, there are so many temptations that we face on this earth. Lord, I pray that you give us the eyes of faith. You give us the good eye so that we will not lay up treasures on earth, lay up on things that we can see, but we will go on things that are unseen, things that we know by faith, things that are correspond to your word. Lord, we pray that you will give us that strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.